Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Well, tonight we're going to jump right into it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 is where we're going to be reading from. And this is what the Bible says. This is John the Apostle. He wrote the Gospel of John, and he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He's writing to a Jewish audience, and his theme is to expose the love of God and what our response back to that love should look like as we walk in fellowship with God. So the Bible says this. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Tonight you'll see there in your journal, week one is a place there for you to take notes, and I really encourage you to take notes. Research shows us that those that take notes, 98% of them make it to heaven. So it's very important that you take notes tonight. Get it into your notebook. And I want to preach from this subject, life in the light. Life in the light. And I believe it's going to be an encouragement to you. This is my fifth time preaching today, but I'm believing that this fifth one is going to be the best one. Sometimes as a preacher, you wrestle with the word and you fight with the word. And sometimes I articulate one part right, and the next time I articulate the other part wrong. And I just feel like tonight, this last one, God's going to bring every piece together. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to walk out of here better than how you came. Come on. Does anybody have faith for that tonight? Why don't you go ahead and give God a big shout of praise all over this place? Pray with me tonight. God, we thank you so much that you're here. We thank you that you're moving. We thank you that you are active tonight in our lives. We pray now, Lord, that you would speak to us in a mighty, crystal clear way. God, we want to leave here tonight different because of your word. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody said, amen. Come on, 7 p.m., live up to the hype. You're the turn-up service. I'm going to give that a más o menos. That's a so-so. It's a so-so. Any real foodies in the house? Anybody who you love food? 4th of July is coming up. Anyone excited to eat some food 4th of July? Gonna barbecue, put some real food on the grill. I love food. Love all types of food. I love going to restaurants. I love finding different spots. My wife and I, we will celebrate 11 years of marriage in the month of August. And yeah, we're excited about that. And my wife and I, we've always had a go-to date spot. And hopefully, you husbands and you men out there, you've got a go-to spot. It's important that you get a go-to spot. And there's this little spot that we used to go to in Fort Lauderdale area. And it was the best little restaurant. It had really, really great food. But it had more than just food. It had ambiance. You know what I'm talking about? Atmosphere. Like when I go to a restaurant, of course, I expect for it to be good food, but you also have to set a vibe, yo. I need a little vibe when I sit down. And this place put out the best vibes, okay? It had the right soundtrack. It was curated with the right vibes. The light was just exactly at the light that you want. It was dim enough. It was really, really vibey. They put us in this booth and there was enough people to create some good energy. And Doncha and I, we went there so many different times. It was our go-to spot. I remember one night we were finishing up dinner. We got back in the car and we were leaving our favorite go-to spot. And as we were halfway home, I realized that I had left my cell phone at the restaurant. I said, babe, we got to turn around. And so we turned around and we went back to the restaurant. But when I got there, they had closed. And so I began to knock on the door, and luckily a staff member came and they opened up the door and I was able to go into the restaurant and I was able to find my phone. Yet something very disturbing happened when I walked into the restaurant. I was so used to this being my go-to spot. It was all the vibes, the right lighting, the right soundtrack. Yet when I walked in on this occasion, after they had closed, all the lights were on. Music was off. Staff was working. And to my surprise and my disgust, I was absolutely bewildered with how dirty the floors were, how jacked up the furniture was. I could see every blemish. I could see every flaw. I could see every issue in that place simply because the lights were turned on. The club looks good on Friday night. You ever seen it on Saturday morning? Doesn't look so beautiful anymore, but you see it for what it is. Why? Because darkness has a way of concealing things, while light has a way of revealing things. And the truth of the matter is, tonight, this is such a clear metaphor for what a lot of our lives look like. A lot of us, we are living in the dark. We are living in hiding. And we think that we can hide all of our blemishes. We think we can hide all of our issues. And so when people meet us, they don't meet the actual self. They meet the projected self. They meet the person who's living in hiding, living in darkness. Yet hear me loud and clear. If you're ever going to have a relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to step out of the darkness. You're going to have to step into the light. And you're going to have to be exposed with the light of Jesus. Come on, somebody. If you believe it tonight, go ahead and stir up the atmosphere just a little bit. We got to walk in the light. And this is really where John starts in his description of God's love for us. He makes it very clear just who God is. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message. What is the message? The gospel. We have heard from him, who's him? Jesus, and declare, another word, and preach to you. Here's the sermon I want to preach to you. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness. God is light. Everyone say, God is light. This is the starting point, that you would understand exactly who God is. If you want relationship, if you want fellowship with God, you must understand that God is light. There's no darkness in God whatsoever. Now you say, I don't really know why that really matters much. And many of us, we've heard this metaphor. John's writing to a Jewish audience. This is a metaphor that they would have used commonly, light and dark. And so they were used to hearing things like this. But for you and I, we hear God is light and we kind of go, yeah, that sounds good. And we just kind of brush past it. Yet for a minute, consider if God is light, what exactly that means about him. Just consider, if God is light, consider the power of light. You know that light is powerful? Light's powerful, bro. For you and I, like, we kind of think of light like on and off, like a light switch, on and off. And so it's very static for us. It's very fixed. It's on, it's off. Yet scientists will tell us that light is an energy. That light is like a wave. It's got movement to it. In fact, scientists will say that light is almost indescribable as you talk about its power. In fact, the source of light, it's indescribable. Light is anything but fixed. It's anything but static. It's on the move. You know, light is fast, like really fast. Really, really fast. In fact, if you were to put light into a vacuum and you were to measure its speed, light is moving at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. In theory, light is the fastest thing in the entire universe. In fact, more of a common language for you and I is we think in miles per hour, like your car. So if you were able to drive your car at the speed of light, that would be 660 million miles per hour. At that speed, you could go around the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. God is fast. God can move suddenly. He can move as quick as the speed of light. Light is so fast that scientists, they have created its entire own measuring scale. It's called the speed of light. And really, you measure the speed of light in what we call light years. And light years are determined by how long the light takes to reach your eyes. Now, this sounds kind of complicated, but really, a light year is just measuring the time and the distance from one object of light emitting to your eyes. So, for instance, the moon, it takes 1 second from the light from the moon to hit your eyes. So it means that the moon is one light minute away. The sun, on the other hand, takes 8 minutes from the sun to reach your eyes. So that the light that you're seeing from the sun is 8 minutes old. So it's 8 minutes, okay? Now, what's crazy is this, is that the moon and the sun, they're like in, you know, these light minutes away. But the nearest star in our galaxy, the light that you're seeing, it took 4.5 years for that light to reach your eyes. So it means it's 4.5 light years away. What's crazy is that all the other stars that you look up into the universe and see, some of them are a few light years away, but some of them are billions of light years away. So in essence, the light that you're seeing in the universe is actually history in front of you. Some of you wonder how powerful your God is. Some of you are wondering, who is God? I'll tell you who God is. God is light. God is not static. God is not fixed. He's on the move. How fast is he moving? He's moving at least 660 million miles per hour. Why? Because God is light. You need to know that when John is saying God is light, he's saying your God is powerful. Take note, you serve a powerful God. But light's not just powerful. Consider the purity of light. Light in the Bible is always referencing righteousness or goodness. And so whenever you see light show up in the Bible, it means that that thing is good or that thing is righteous. Where on the other hand, if you see the word darkness, you know that it means unrighteousness or evil. For instance, Satan, the father of lies, is also known as what? The prince of darkness. Because light reveals, darkness conceals. And what John wants to be very, very clear about for all of us is that when you think about God, understand that God is light. And what that means is that God is pure, God is good, God is righteous. We live in a world that's broken and fallen, and we live in a world that has lots of bad things happening. Yet just because the world is bad doesn't mean that God is bad. God is light. God is pure. God is good. Come on, if you believe God is good tonight, why don't you give him some praise in this place? He's good. You got the power of light. You got the purity of light. But how about the purpose of light? Purpose of light. Light has a purpose. In fact, when light hits your retina, it illuminates so that you can see. Light gives way to sight. Without light, you can't see. Do you know that all color is derived from light? Without light, we don't have color. So for a moment, think about this. All of the color in your world, all of the beauty in your world, it comes from God because God is light and Jesus ignites that light. Light's purpose is to illuminate your path. And what you'll find out about light is that light is a game changer. Right. Everywhere it goes, it changes things. 1879, Thomas Edison, one of my favorite inventors, invented the light bulb. And Thomas Edison had this really funny tactic. Whenever he was going to invent something, he would always step out in front of people. Before he invented it, he would tell everybody, "I'm going to invent such and such," and then he would go into the lab and invent it. And the reason why is because he believed that as he spoke it out publicly, it would create public accountability that would force him to get the job done. I think every once in a while as believers, we got to get our confession in front of our circumstance. We got to speak some things into existence. We got to speak to the things that seem impossible. And we watch as our God takes impossible things and makes them possible. But in 1879, he invents the light bulb, and the light bulb is a game changer. It doesn't just illuminate people's homes, but more importantly than that, it actually shifts the economy. Because of the light bulb, cities are formed. Now people are able to work late into the hours and they can become more efficient and more effective. And literally, there's brand new industries that are formed all because light entered the situation. I mean, go back all the way to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." Notice, all of creation follows light because light is a game changer and light has a purpose, and its purpose is to illuminate the path in front of you. God is light. God is powerful. God is pure. And God has a purpose for you and I. And this is the starting point for fellowship. Notice what John will say. He'll say, if we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Listen to me. John is getting into the heart of his letter, which is Jesus Christ came not to establish religion. He came to establish a relationship with you and I. He came to establish fellowship with you and I. He didn't come so that you could just have one little experience with him at VU Church on a Sunday evening and then go back to living your old way. No, he came for a takeover of your life, and he wants to walk with you in the light. It's just the truth. Yet here's what he says. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we continue to walk in darkness, we deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. And in fact, he'll go even further. He'll say that God is a liar. The truth of the matter is, if we want fellowship with God, we have to come out of darkness. We have to step into the light. We must walk into his power, walk into his purity, and walk into his purpose. And here's what I know. I know this. I know that until you know who God is, you will never know who you are. So if God is light, if God is full of power, full of purity, and full of purpose, who am I in the equation? Because I can't discover who I am until I first know who he is. So look at what John will say. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, or the light, is not in us. So if God is light, apart from God, who are we? We are dark. Everyone say, we are dark. Now, right off the bat, a lot of people don't like this type of preaching because this is going to offend a few people, but we got to understand our theology a little bit tonight. Apart from God, we are dark. We're full of darkness. Some of us, we don't know Jesus, or we're not walking in relationship with God, and so we live life going, man, I got so many problems. My life is full of problems. I have problems. I have problems. I have problems. And the problem with that statement is not true, because apart from Jesus, you don't have problems. It's worse than that. You are the problem. You are the problem. God is light. You are full of darkness. John says, if you try to tell yourself that you are without sin, you are deceiving yourself, you're feeding yourself a lie, and you're lying to yourself once again. We have all sinned. And the problem for us is that we have the wrong perspective on sin. We think sin is a behavior problem, when really sin is an identity problem. If not that I become a sinner because I sin. No, I am a sinner, therefore I do sin. Get the order right. Some of you are like, no, when I was 13, I really screwed up that summer, and at that point, that's where I really fell, and I became a sinner. No, you were a sinner way before that. Way before that. You see, the theological word, and it's good for you to write down in your notepad tonight, because this summer we're just studying the Bible, the theological word is this. It's called original sin. You say, what does original sin mean? Original sin means that because of the sins of Adam and Eve, that when they ate the fruit from the tree and they fell from grace, what was the first thing that they did after they fell from grace? They noticed that they were naked. And so what did they do? They went and they hid. They concealed themselves. They begin to live in darkness. In fact, God will come into the garden and say, where are you? And Adam, he'll say, we're hiding. Which looks like a lot of us who are away from God. We're hiding from God and we're living in the darkness and we're hoping nobody sees the blemishes. We're hoping that nobody sees the cracks. We're hoping that nobody sees the flaws. And because of Adam and Eve, you and I, we are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And so when we were born into sin. So it's not something that you did. Rather, it's something that you are. You don't have problems. You are the problem. And something has to change that problem. Look at what David says in Psalm 51. He says this, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Some of you are like, well, that's the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament girl. Okay, Romans chapter 3. For all, everyone say all. Everyone say all. All, your grandmother, your Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, Rich Wilkerson Jr., put your name there. All in the Greek means all. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin doesn't make me bad. Sin makes me dead. I've fallen and I can't get up. Anyone under 30 is not laughing right now. We'll preach something more relevant for you next week. This is the situation I find myself in. God is light. We, apart from God, are dark, full of darkness, full of sin. Sin doesn't make me bad. Sin makes me dead. I've fallen and I don't know how to get back up. I don't just need a little makeover. I need a brand new restart. Remember your Nintendo when that thing went, you had to pull. Once again, if you're under 30, you're not going to understand any of this sermon tonight. I apologize. You need a restart. You need a reset. When Dontre and I first got married, Dontre is amazing. She does everything good. One thing she doesn't do so good is she doesn't do directions very good. She doesn't do driving directions very good. And so it's our first year of marriage, and she called me. We were living in Tennessee. And she said, Rich, I'm lost. I said, okay. She goes, tell me how to get home. I said, okay, I'll tell you how to get home. I said, where are you? She said, I don't know. And how many of you know that I know how to get home? But I can't get you home until we establish where you are. Until you establish that you were born into sin. Sin wasn't something that you did. Sin was something that you were, that you are. You have a sin nature. That's why doing wrong is always easier for you than doing right. Until you establish and recognize where you are apart from God, you can never actually get back home. Even Jesus can't get you back home until you recognize I am lost without you. I need you to know that I am full of darkness. You are full of light. I want your power. I want your purity. And I definitely want your purpose. I'm tired of hiding. I'm ready to step into the light. So what does John do? John gives us a gateway into the light. How do we get into light? 1 John chapter 1, we're just studying the scriptures. He says, if we confess, everyone say confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify, there's that word, us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. He tells us that the gateway into the light is confession. Confession. Listen to me. Nothing grows in the dark. Take it back. Mold grows in the dark. And if we were to put the light on some of our souls in this room tonight, your projected self looks pretty good, but when the light exposes and reveals who you are, we would find a soul that is molding and decaying because you have been living in darkness. And John is saying, if you want to step into fellowship, if you want to step into relationship, if you want to walk with God, it starts when you live a life of confession. Now, before we get like all like confused, because people in here, we've got all sorts of different kind of like interpretations of confession. I can already see somebody like, that's it. Like after this service, like you're going to grab everyone in the courtyard, but come over here. Stepping in the light tonight. I want to confess everything. It's been a rough year. I'm going to start in January. I'm not proud of January at all, but here we go. That's not what we need you to do. We don't need you to get a laundry list of every mistake that you have made, every issue, every bit of your weakness, all of your blemishes, all of your flaws. No, confession, it really means to agree with God. God, I'm in agreement about who you are and about who I am. I know who you are. And let's make no mistake, I know exactly who I am without you. And so I am confessing that without you, I am imperfect, I am full of blemishes, I am full of flaws, and I don't want to live in the darkness, I don't want to live in hiding, I want to step into confession, I want to walk in the light. Don Shu and I, we met when we were 17 years of age, and we've been romancing each other ever since, and Don Cherie is very aware that I am an imperfect man. She knows all of my flaws. She knows every one of my blemishes. She's very aware of my weaknesses. She knows every area of my life that is in need of a renovation. She knows that I am not perfect. Yet hear me loud and clear. Don Cherie doesn't need a perfect man. She needs an honest man. Because real relationship and real fellowship cannot take place where there is no honesty. Honesty gives way to trust. In you and your life, understand God is not looking for perfect people. Please hear me. All have sinned. All of us. Every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus came to the earth and he offers us the light of life. Yet the way that we get into the light is by confessing. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for honest people who can say, God, without you, my life is jacked up. I need you. And so confession, it's all about stepping into honesty. And honesty gives way to trust. And when there is trust, a relationship can flourish. But that which we hide and that which we conceal, it'll never flourish. It'll never grow. It'll decay. It'll mold. It'll eventually die. And so John says, live life in the light. If you will confess your sins, God, here I am again. It's rich. You know me, man. I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. I've got issues. I need your grace. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to purify us from all unrighteousness, to let his light infiltrate our life. Some of you are going, well, what does confession mean? Confession is less about you recalling all of your weaknesses and more about reminding yourself of all of his strength. I am weak, but he is strong. God's not looking for the perfect rich. God is looking for the honest rich. And when I get honest with God, I step into the light, and there his grace meets me. And his grace, it strengthens me. Don Cherie, She can handle an imperfect man. What she can't handle is a dishonest man. In relationships, they can handle mistakes and they can handle failures. They just can't handle failures that you cover up and say, let's just dim the lights down and hopefully you don't see the flaws. You see, God is light. We are dark, and until I admit that I am full of darkness, I'll never have true fellowship with God. So if God is light and we are dark, what is the good news? Well, John will give us the good news here in chapter 2. He says this, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. This is so good. Please get this in your soul tonight. I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. God is light. We are dark, but here comes the good news. Because of Jesus, He, Jesus, offers life. Oh, come on, are you thankful for Jesus tonight? He offers life. Listen to John, because I want you to hear this. Because imagine this letter's being written to us, VU Church. VU Church, I write this to you. I write that you might know God is light. God is full of power. He's on the move. He's fast. He's big. He's powerful. God is pure. There's no trace of darkness in Him. God is full of purpose. He's a game changer when He meets your life. We were dark, but we have a gateway into the light. The gateway is called confession. And now that you know, when you just get honest before God, His grace will meet you in your life, that He will purify you from all unrighteousness. I write this letter to you, VU Church, that you might not keep on sinning. Stop sinning. You've walked into the light. Quit going back to your old ways. Quit dating God. Quit making Sunday a one-night stand with God. Step into the light. I write that you might not sin against God, but, oh, come on. Anybody thankful for that conjunction right there? But if you do sin, thank you, Jesus. Because I don't know about you, if I'm being real, and that's what we're doing tonight, I've stepped into the light, but sometimes darkness, it pulls me back. Sometimes darkness, it lies to me. Sometimes darkness, it tempts me to hide and to conceal and to cover up and hope that nobody sees the real me. I write this that you might not sin, but if you do sin, know that you have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the atoning sacrifice for your sins, and not only your sins, but the sins of the entire world. We learned one theological word tonight. That was original sin. Let me teach you a second one. The word is propitiation. Propitiation. Right there in 1 John chapter 2, we discover the meaning of this word. Propitiation means that at the cross, God the Father was totally satisfied when He poured out all of His wrath on Jesus once and for all. And Jesus took the punishment for all of our sin. In fact, the scriptures will go even further, that Jesus Christ became sin, that you and I might become the righteousness of God. Meaning Jesus, propitiation, took our place. He traded places with us. He didn't just die for us. He died as us. He died in our place. He took God's punishment, which is death. And when God punished Him, God was totally satisfied, and we were justified in a moment. This is the good news that we have. You see, for me in my life, I want you to write this down tonight. I don't follow Jesus because I'm afraid of the dark, but because I have seen the light. No doubt I'm afraid of the dark. No doubt I've learned that darkness is difficult. No doubt I've learned that darkness is blinding. But the thing that's more exciting and the thing that's more thrilling, the thing that's more drawing is that I've encountered Jesus. I've encountered the light. And when I've seen the light, I've decided I'm going to follow him because he's the God who took my place. And even when I do sin, I have a calm confidence that I do not lose my sonship. You see, sonship is about life and death. Fellowship is about light and darkness. And the true believer knows down deep that when you fall into sin, you don't have to pay penance. You don't have to make another sacrifice. You don't have to go into some box and talk to some man and confess every little thing that you ever did. But rather, you can talk to the man, the real man. His name is Jesus Christ. And you can know that in one moment, you can be washed clean. Wash clean. The real believer knows I can't lose my sonship. I'm always accepted by God, even when I live my life in unacceptable ways. Fellowship is about light and darkness. Sonship's about life and death. And last time I checked, sonship, you can't become a son by worth. You become a son by birth. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to become a child of God. And so here's our calm confidence. My calm confidence is that I don't use my grace as a license to sin. I don't use my grace to live in darkness. No, 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 I've seen the light. I don't follow Jesus because I'm afraid of darkness. I follow Jesus because I've seen the light, and the light is that good. And even when I drift back into darkness, I've got this real assurance that I have an advocate. His name is Jesus, and he pleads my case. You ever watch those shows, Law and Order or CSI? You ever seen these shows? And they always arrest somebody and they start to accuse them of stuff. And then those people, I always watch them like, why are you talking? They start talking, no, you don't understand. I didn't go to the party. And they just start talking. Don't they know that they have a right in this country? And the right is that they can ask for their lawyer. And when they ask for their lawyer, the lawyer does the talking. The lawyer pleads their case. I hope you know tonight that when the accuser comes to your doorstep and holds up a record of your wrongs, I hope you know you got the best lawyer in the business. His name is Jesus Christ. And he stands in the gap between you and the judge. And he says, by my stripes, these people, they are healed. Their sins are forgotten. And my righteousness has now been transferred over to them. I don't know about you, but I'm living my life in the light tonight. I've seen the light. I've seen Jesus, and he's worthy of all my praise. Come on, church. Let's sing it out. Come on.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at VUChurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.